Yeah, you know what you can get me, Pee-wee?
What?
El Hombre.
First of all, as a service to the listeners, this is an absolute forget about it.
El Hombre.
He's a pariah. I mean, it's like going after raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens.
El Hombre.
It is that time, everybody. Every Tuesday at 5 o'clock, if we're not preempted by the Mariners, we bring in the one, the only El Hombre, Michael Bradley, who joins us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. How are you, Michael?
What's happening, everybody?
Well, we're just feeling playoff fever out here, my friend. The Mariners, I don't know if you got any chance to watch the highlight shows. I'm certain you weren't up watching the game, but the ninth inning of the game last night between the Mariners and the Angels
was screwy. Yeah,
it was goofy, man. It was good. There was a disputed call. I want to get your take on this because Julio hit what looked like a home run, went around the foul pole, but you know how that is. You're watching the replay.
Right.
Like, did that pass in front of it, behind it? And they made the call. They said, "Nah, foul ball." And it's like, wait a minute, that ball disappears for a minute though, for a second. And I'm saying today, like, you know, we've got the technology. Isn't it time to put something in place to where it's definitive rather than somebody just looking and leaning to the left or right going, yeah, that looks fair. That looks foul.
Yeah, how can they not have a camera inside the foul pole? I mean, that's the easiest way to do it, right? How many different kinds of cameras do we have? We put them on people's helmets. We have things flying over stadiums. And you can't say, let's put something at the top of the foul pole that can go up and down. One person's responsible for it. Ball gets hit, that person moves the camera up or down so it can follow the ball. You see if it goes inside there, and it's pretty easy.
Yeah. Do you think – I think you heard something, Bob, that they're going to try to get that fixed by the playoffs.
Well, that's – Blauer said that. Like, he said he wouldn't be surprised – because we asked him the same question. He's like, yeah, it's got to be fixed, but he wouldn't be surprised to see it by the playoffs. That for me, I'm like, well, hang on a minute. Are they already working on something? Because we got like 40-some games left in the season.
I mean, think about all the technology in other sports, right? If you serve in tennis and the ball's outside the box, you see that little camera, that little animation on your screen.
Right.
Okay, it's out. It's indisputable. Soccer, you've got offside stuff. You've got goal cameras to make sure whether the ball's all the way over the line or not. I mean, how long until we can actually put like a barcode on a football or a basketball or a baseball and just have it, you know, wherever it is in the stadium, we know where the ball went. I mean, it's not that hard, folks.
Yeah, I would think so too. That one especially you want to get right in the playoffs. What about the? I don't know if you saw this one, but we had a hitter talk an umpire into a 3-1. It was 2-2, mm-hmm. And he talked him into a 3-1. I don't know if I'd ever seen that. And when you go back, it's very unclear as to whether what the call the guy made was. But you know, it was kind of interesting. I think you know he's gonna. I think he's going to take a hit on that. And, you know,
yeah, maybe... I mean, I've seen umpires make mistakes before where they call it's 3-1 and it's actually 2-2 and one of the other umpires says something or a manager, you know, but I've never seen a player talk his way into it. But then again, let's think about what's going on in baseball these days. You got a guy suspended because he slid into third base and his phone came out of his pocket. and the other day, I don't know if you saw this one, Pete Alonso, during a pitching conference, gave Buck Showalter a couple of scratch-off lottery cards out of the back pocket of his uniform while he's standing on the mound. Showalter's like, what the heck's this?
I didn't see it. Are you being serious?
I'm being completely serious.
So he gave him scratch tickets?
He gave him scratch tickets. He pulled him out. He gave him Showalter's like, what the heck? We got a ball game we're playing here.
Say, dude, you're making millions playing baseball. You've already won the lottery. What are you doing?
Yeah, I think he was just doing it as a goof. But at the look, Jason Stark writes a column for The Athletic every so often. I don't know if it's every week or every month or whatever, where he writes about the zany things that happen in baseball. And it really is unlike any other sport in terms of the statistical anomalies, the crazy things that happen. The first, right, they've been playing baseball since 18-whatever. They play 162 games a year. There's 30 teams playing it. How many different games, at bats, situations? And they're still coming up with, this is the first time it happened until since old Hoss Radburn did it in 1892 or something. It's nuts.
Well, you bring up a suspension of a player for a very goofy reason, obviously, the cell phone, which is, again, that's a first. I've never seen that. But Fernando Tatis Jr. suspended for 80 games, 23 years old. And I was reading an article, I think it was the New York Post, and they were whoever was writing it, I should have copied it, but it said something along the lines, I'll paraphrase, that his excuse for the dirty test was complete BS because whatever he said, whatever he tested positive for would never, ever be prescribed for ringworm, which is what he said he had, or any sort of skin infection of any sort, and it was completely contradictory information. So basically he's saying it was not only did he do this, but he was lazy in his lie. It's a terrible lie and all of that. What have you read much about
first of all, when I heard ringworm, I'm like, what is this? What is he, a labradoodle or something? And I realized that's heartworm. So I'm getting my worm infestation confused. You're right about the laziness in that. If you're going to cheat, you got to have something better than that, right? Can't you consult with somebody and say, oh, I needed to take this because, and then find some phony baloney doctor to write you a prescription for it? Here's the other thing that I read today that I can't remember where it was. It might have been ESPN. This guy signed, what, a 13-year contract?
Yeah.
He doesn't need to use steroids. He could stink for the next 12 years, and he's still going to get paid because the contracts are guaranteed. It's amazing to me. And it's like, dude, You're getting tested. You got caught. You come up with a stupid excuse. And it's funny. His dad's like, oh, his reputation's taking a hit. No doubt. I mean, are you kidding me? Of course it took a hit. He's looked at as an idiot.
Well, of course, that'll be attached to him forever, the way it is with Bonds, the way it is with Clemens, the way it is with A-Rod, and the way the cheating scandal will follow the Astros players. That doesn't go away. But you just hit on one thing I wanted to ask you about, and this is in light. I was watching, I don't know if you ever watched the K-Rod broadcast on ESPN for Sunday Night Baseball, where it's Michael Kay and Alex Rodriguez. They had
what do you think?
Probably not. Because they kind of touched on that. They talked to, you know, and he was very self-deprecating, and I did, you know, some of the things I did and said make me cringe, and I was such an idiot, blah, blah, blah. But I'm wondering if you look at somebody like Tatis and even A-Rod the first time around, where they've got this big contract in hand. It's guaranteed money, but then there's the pressure of living up to it. And I'm wondering if that drives guys like that who are naturally talented. I mean, you're talking about two players who were phenomenal talents, generational talents anyway, who made a choice after they signed huge deals to do something like that and risk getting caught. Do you think that's the pressure of a mass, you know, in A-Rod's case, it was a $252 million contract and a lot of blowback for that kind of money. Do you think that leads to them going, man, I got to live up to this and show I'm worth it?
Maybe it does. I mean, look, people do things for a variety of different reasons, right? I mean, the hypothesis with Bonds is he was so upset about seeing the publicity that McGuire and Sosa were getting for hitting all the home runs. And he said, well, can you imagine what I would be doing if I were on that stuff? I'm a Hall of Famer without it, right? I don't think McGuire's a Hall of Famer. Is he a Hall of Famer? Did he get in the Hall of Fame?
No.
But, I mean, he was – his numbers would have been Hall of Fame worthy. Right. I don't think he would have put up Hall of Fame worthy numbers if he were not on juice. But you know, Bonds was upset about that. Other people do it to stay in the majors. Other people do it to get the contract in a contract year. Other people do it because their opponents are taken. There's a lot of reasons to do it. The problem is he got caught. And there's where there's where the issue now becomes, because forever it's going to be, yeah, but. He could hit, you know, 50 home runs a year for the next 10 years, and people are going to go, yeah, but did he find another way to cheat? The cheaters are always ahead of the testers.
Hey, I see now that the Phillies are in second place in the wild card race, and the Mariners are in first place in the American League wild card chase.
The bet was that they make the playoffs, not who finishes higher.
Okay. Well, I'm just making sure you knew that.
And look, I'll tell you what, you don't want to be in that second wild card spot. That's bad, especially in the National League, because the sixth position, the third wild card spot, is going to play either St. Louis or Milwaukee, who really isn't all that good. If the Phillies finish in the second wild card spot, they're going to have to play the Braves most likely, okay? Yeah. And on the road. So, and if they finish in the first wild card spot, they're going to have to play the Braves, but they'll have two of the three games there. So it's almost like, hey, let's see if he can finish sixth rather than fifth. So you get to play St. Louis or Milwaukee. Then, of course, you got to play the Dodgers or whatever. So you're doomed after that. But, you know, it is I look back to 2007. Phillies made the playoffs, got eliminated in the first round. Then they won the World Series the next year. this is a good team. It's playing better. You know, when Bryce Harper comes back, it's going to be more dangerous. But it's certainly not the team that's on the level of the Mets or the Dodgers or even the Braves right now.
Ooh, that had to hurt right there, saying the Mets.
Oh, and I know it's horrible. Although I will say their closer's entry with the trumpets,
Diaz,
the way he enters the field, that is amazing.
Yeah. Former Seattle Mariner, Edwin Diaz.
Yeah. Did he do that in Seattle?
I don't recall that being his entrance music.
The trumpets.
That's amazing. Yeah, I mean, can you imagine you're sitting at the ball game and it's like you're not paying attention, you're looking at the phone or something, you're getting munching on a hot dog or something, all of a sudden you hear the trumpets. I mean, that's like a shot of adrenaline. It's going to blast you out of your seat. You're going to go bananas. When the Phillies had Billy Wagner, he used to play, I think it was Enter Sandman, which was the same thing that Rivera did.
Mariano.
All right, but when Wagner would come into that, the whole place would go bananas.
Yeah. All right, one more Philadelphia thing. What can we expect from J.J. Arcega-Whiteside?
Nothing. I'm glad you brought it up. Nothing.
Well, you got Ugo Amadi, nice kid.
He's made some starts. You know, the Eagles need some help at cornerback depth there, and he can also play some safety. We win that one, okay? I'm going to go Michael Corleone on you when the senator from Nevada comes in at the beginning of Godfather 2, and he's like, I'll give you my offer right now. Nothing. That's what you can expect from J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. It was a horrible draft pick. It was one of those, we're going to get a tall guy to catch balls in the end zone. No, he doesn't. Trying to make him a tight end? What a hound. Enjoy him, folks.
I think his best game was against the Seahawks. Against the Seahawks back in rookie year 2019.
Boy, he had a good game against us. Maybe he can play well for us. He can't.
He was drafted ahead of DK, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah,
he was drafted ahead of a lot of guys. This was, you know, Howie Roseman has done some good job, some good things in managing the cap in Philadelphia. He's a general manager and some free agent signings. But the draft has not been, you know, he's had some good draft picks, but he's had some horrible draft picks, too.
I can't remember.
This guy's one of them.
Did we talk to you after the debut of Hard Knocks? I can't remember if that.
No, I loved it.
It was, I just, again, we say it every single season, but I just marvel at how well it's done and how they can make any team, a team you never even give a second of thought to, interesting. Yep. It doesn't matter who it is. They're interesting. You buy into the stories. You follow, is this guy going to make the team or not? Is it you're buying into all the personal story? I think it's just such a well-done show, and the Lions seem interesting to me now. Campbell seems interesting as a head coach. I'd love.
Well, that's the thing. You need a star, right? When they did it, was it the Jets with Rex Ryan, he was the star of the show. When the head coach is willing to get up there in front of the cameras and be the way he is, then you've got a situation where you can say, "All right, this guy's going to drive the whole thing." The running back who gave that unbelievably impassioned speech after practice that was amazing.
Yeah. Well, how about the assistant coaches talking smack to each other?
Oh, that was hilarious.
Deuce Staley and Aaron Glenn.
Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't come to blows. If I'm Aaron Glenn, I'm popping him. I know he's bigger than me, but what a jerk.
I love him. I love that guy. I love you, man. And then you see that scene, you're like, wow.
Yeah. And he wouldn't shut up. I mean, that's unbelievable. And everybody else on the field is just going about their business, and Deuce is talking all the time. The dance that Aiden Hutchinson did when he does Billie Jean,
and the
whole place gets up and starts singing.
Yeah.
This is great entertainment, folks.
Yeah, it was kind of started off a little cringy, but then.
Well, he blew it at first. Remember, he screwed up the lyrics.
Everybody got into it. It was good. You know, it's funny. I had my wife watch it last night, and, you know, she. A football show like that, typically not interested, but she ended up she loves Dan Campbell. And that's the thing about that guy he's kind of the lovable meathead, right?
Yeah.
But he also, you know, he has some conviction about him, and he's got some humility. He talks about how he tripped over the dog gate.
Oh, and hurt his wrist.
Then he does 40 up downs, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you see Friday night Hutchinson made a tackle in the backfield, and then he came up and did the one-legged Billie Jean thing as a celebration?
Oh, no, I missed that.
Oh, it was hilarious. It was hilarious. I mean, and the play was remarkable. The left tackle tries to block. I mean, he pushed him aside like it was his little brother and just went in and blasted the back. And it's funny, he doesn't look like he weighs that much. He looks like he weighs about 240. And yet he's strong and fast as heck. And he's going to be an interesting player to watch. And I'm not just saying that because he went to the University of Michigan. Yeah.
Hey, one of the things that Dave and I were talking about in connection to that show is they showed them practicing, and they were hitting like it was a game. Mm-hmm. Like, they were blowing each other up. And I know every coach has got a different philosophy, and we heard Campbell in that episode talking about, hey, guys, if I knew of a better way, I would do it. Trust me, I'm here for you guys. I'm just trying to make you guys better, and this is the way I know how to make you better. And we're out here watching the Seahawks, and it's the polar opposite. I mean, there's no contact going on, nothing like what we saw in that. I'm not sure what it's like in Eagles camp out there, but do you have an opinion as to which way is better? Like, I don't know.
There's pros and cons in both. And since my level of football playing ended in sixth grade, I'm not somebody who's really an expert on all of this, right?
What about the Thanksgiving?
There's no hitting on that. We're just what we're all trying to do is basically avoid any kind of injury, but avoid being the Schwantego. Right. That's it. There's two things. Don't get hurt and don't come home with a pink toilet seat. But
in Philadelphia, they're wearing
like wide whales and boaters, and they're drinking drinks while they're out running around. There's no hitting going on. I mean, it's unbelievable. And I see Campbell's point. If it's the first game and you're a linebacker and here comes a blocker I think they run ISO anymore, but you got a blocker coming at you and you got to get rid of him physically and then hit the back, and all you've been doing is thud for the last couple weeks, you may not be ready to do that. Now, I mean, there's some guys, Jack Lambert, you could have woken him up in March in the middle of the night and said, hey, would you go out and knock down that barn, and he'd do it and then go back to sleep very easily. So, you know, I agree with what Campbell says, but I also see the value of not getting guys hurt. Heck, the quarterback for the Jets hurt himself running the other night.
Yeah, non-contact.
You can get all sorts of injuries not getting touched. So you bring heavy contact into it, and guys, start tearing triceps and, blowing out shoulders and getting all sorts of problems.
Yeah, I think I would be more like Dan Campbell if I was the head coach.
Of course you would.
Here's the thing. You're a linebacker, right? Yeah. All right. Campbell was a tight end, all right? What did Pete Carroll play? He's probably a running back or wide receiver.
Defensive back, right?
Was he a safety? They don't like to hit unless it's a safety. I mean, unless it's one of those psychotic guys who wants to come up and separate you from everything. So,
Marquise Blair.
You would say, yeah, we're going to hit today. You know why? Because we're going to hit every day because we're playing football, right?
Yeah, Dave wants to bring violence back into the sport.
Absolutely.
Missing.
I mean, look, I watched a thing on Twitter the other day. It was from the NFL on CBS, the promo, right? When you're the lead into the show. Every hit they showed would have been like a 15-yard penalty, an ejection, and a suspension. And it's like, dun, 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 and here comes a clothesline knocking a guy's head off. And guy goes up to catch a pass, man runs underneath him, 360 degrees, flat on his head. Joe Turkey Jones picks up Terry Bradshaw, drops him on his head. So, I mean, that's the way it used to be. They're not allowed to do any of that anymore.
Yeah, it's interesting the way that used to be how they marketed the sport. I remember having a DVD of Crunch Course. And it was just one massive hit after another, and that's how they marketed the sport. And it's so many people have predicted the demise of football because they're making it too safe, too many changes. But you see the revenue being generated, Michael. You see the ratings every year. It's just not true. As much as we may look at it and go, yeah, those were better times, it was a better product, whatever your feelings are, this sport is just continuing to grow in spite of what everybody's saying, that this is all going to be to the detriment of the sport and you're going to lose your fan base. It's just
And I know we're up against a break, and I'm working on a 5,000-word article for Philadelphia Magazine here about sports gambling and people under the age of 30. And in talking to people, the amount of money the NFL is going to make off of sports gambling and its affiliations with sports gaming companies in the coming years, it's unbelievable. And it's using gambling to stoke the fire. So that's where we're going on this. The TV ratings, they're still going to be high because everybody's going to be gambling. They can take them out and let them play in shorts and tank tops and have like frisbees and whatever. If you can still gamble on it and they got the team names, we'll be fine.
Michael, as always, we appreciate it. Great stuff. You can follow Michael on Twitter at Daily Ombre. At Daily Ombre is where you find him, and you find him here every Tuesday at 5 o'clock unless we get preempted by the Mariners. He'll be right here. Michael, we appreciate it. We'll talk next week, man.
So long, suckers.
There you go. Michael Bradley again at Daily Ombre on Twitter. And it's funny because we've heard about it. We've complained about some of the rule changes and kickoffs and how they've just kind of rendered some aspects of the game almost meaningless. Yet the bottom line is not being impacted in a negative way at all.
Yeah, not so far. We'll see. You know, we'll see what happens. Did you see in the game, by the way, there was a blindside block on one of the Seahawk linebackers?
I don't recall that.
Yeah, it happened at the end of the game, and they did not call that. And I was like, oh, well. Huh. Either they missed it or maybe they're...
It's preseason for the officials, too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. And for broadcasters, too, I found out.
Yeah, oh, how did the broadcast go?
It was great. Yeah,
no mistakes? Mistake-free?
Oh, I don't know about that. I mean, I got to keep Rabel in line. No, I mean, Rabes could do the whole thing by himself. So
you got to teach him how to use all the computers, all the software.
He actually schooled me on that. But, it was good. It's just so... much fun working with Rabel and, you know, getting to, you know, be around the guys and the players and kind of, you know, it's nice because, look, it's been 2 years really since we've got a chance to, you know, we were just talking to them, like even last year, Bob, they were, what, 20 feet away from us?
Yeah, there was a line in the grass of, it was tape that they put in the turf out there for those that are watching on the video stream. So they were, I think it was a good 15, 20 feet away at least.
Yeah. So, yeah, and you're starting to get back, you know. I was down at the team breakfast, and somebody walked by, and I'm like, I know that guy. I don't know why I can't place. I got all the way up into my room. I go, that was Puna Ford. He just looked different, you know. There was something about, you know, maybe it was his hair or whatever. But, yeah, you just get a chance to get back around those guys because of the, you know, the pandemic took that away for a couple of years.
Yeah, and you see guys out of context. You see people out of context. I've done that before where I saw somebody actually that worked here in the building that you'd see every single day, and I saw him out at a restaurant, and they go, Bob. And I'm like, hey, man, how are you? And I'm like, who the hell is that? I know
that
face.
Feeling.
Yeah, oh, you feel terrible. I do that with people in our building, though, too. I've worked there for 12 years.
Lefko?
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Hey.
How are you?
You?
Thumb.
Thumb. That's exactly right. All right. That does it for us. I want to thank our guests today, George Kirby, Mike Blowers, Bo Melton, and El Hombre, Michael Bradley. If you missed anything from today's show, or any day for that matter, all you need to do is head to SeattleSports.com, click the podcast tab, scroll down to our picture, click on that. And everything you missed each and every day, you're going to find right there. And the key to the whole thing is to do what, Lefko?
Subscribe. Look at him.
Look at him. You blew it.
Counting the seconds. Hurry up.
You blew it, Lefko. Come on, man. What happened there? He ducked out. He ducked out. He went dark. All right. He's paranoid. We're gonna be late. We're not going to be late. You got the Mariners and the Angels coming up. Robbie Ray on the hill for game two. See if they can match last night's game. We'll talk to you tomorrow with Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports 710.